Welcome to Setting Course, an ABS podcast, where we're charting the future of the marine and offshore industries. I'm Brad Cox, and I'll be your host today. You know, we're excited to bring you a very special episode as part of Singapore Maritime Week. This year's theme is Actions Meet Ambition, and I think that's really fitting for what we're discussing today. The IMO's 2030 and 2050 decarbonization goals are certainly ambitious. And for the last several years, you know, everybody's been asking how we're going to get there. What actions can the industry take to meet those goals? Today, we're joined by some very special guests to discuss the challenges of decarbonization and the actions they're taking to address them. From Pacific Carriers Limited, we're joined by Chern Meng Huat, General Manager of Technical Fleet Management. Thank you for joining us today, Meng Huat.
Thanks, Brad. I'm glad to be here.
And from Pax Ocean, we have Siddhat Sinanayake, Head of Commercial for Pax Ocean. Thank you for joining us, Siddhat.
Thanks, Brad. Pleasure to be here.
And from ABS, we have Shuyang Ko, the Director of the Global Sustainability Center in Singapore. Thank you for being here, Shuyang.
Thank you for having me, Brett.
Okay, Meng Huat, I'd like you to get us started. As a ship-owning company, PCL is really in the thick of things, navigating these regulations and figuring out what needs to be done to decarbonize its fleet. You know, what are the biggest challenges in meeting the industry's decarbonization goals?
Hey, thanks, Brett. At PCL, we are acutely aware of the urgent need to adopt measures that align with IMO's carbon intensity indicator, as well as the 2030 and 2050 decarbonization goals. It's a challenging journey, but one in which we are committed to. I believe all the ship owners and operators will have its own challenges and depending on its unique composition and operations. The challenges will be unique for some, but for many, it will be similar. At PCL, our fleet diversity poses some such challenges with our mix of bulkers, MPVs and tankers, which vary from very young eco-friendly vessels, which will be able to easily meet the goal set by IMO, to our older vessels, which are around 12 to 13 years, and that will need measures to operate beyond the 2020. Other challenges which we are unsure, again, most owners are facing the same with us, will be in terms of regulatory, technological, operational, and lastly, in terms of training and upskilling of our personnel, both in the office as well as abroad. In terms of the regulatory challenges, I think the uncertainty in the future regulations hinders long-term planning for most owners. And this is actually compounded by complexities in sourcing for sustainable fuel and materials. In addition, ship owners must navigate complex global supply chains to source sustainable fuels and materials for retrofitting or constructing new vessels, which can pose logistical challenges. And this is particularly challenging for our vessels which operate with no fixed trade routes. In terms of the technological challenges, implementing decarbonization technologies and transiting to alternative fuels often requires significant upfront investment, which can be financially burdensome for ship owners. Furthermore, many of the decarbonization technologies, such as hydrogen fuel cells or carbon capture systems, are still in its early stage of development, and as such are not commercially viable or proven for maritime application. Operationally, I'm sure everybody is aware, optimizing voyages to minimize fuel consumption and reducing our CII is essential for achieving decarbonization goals. However, this requires sophisticated data analysis, predictive modeling, and real-time monitoring capabilities, which may not be available or easily implemented across the entire fleet. Ship owners need to invest in advanced voyage planning tools and technologies to identify the most fuel-efficient routes, considering factors such as weather conditions, currents, and traffic congestion. And lastly, the training of our crew and shore support on the new technologies and regulations is essential to the safe and efficient operation of the vessel, which will require investment. We cannot do this alone. Addressing these challenges requires collaboration with stakeholders, regulators, industry partners to develop and implement effective mitigating strategies. You must assess regulations, fuel availability, and operational costs across short, medium, and long term to navigate this complex landscape successfully.
Sadat, Shuyong, you guys, you know, have a little bit different perspectives from, you know, the shipyard and the class side. Any thoughts on the, you know, the challenges facing the industry today?
Sure, Brad. Maybe I could chip in first. Again, as a shipyard, we're talking to many different donors around the world in terms of their challenges. And we find that, again, as Ming Huat sort of pointed out, they are grappling, all owners around the world are grappling with the lack of clarity regarding future clean fuels and the regulatory framework around them. This uncertainty poses a significant obstacle, hindering their plans to and abilities to swiftly replace aging vessels despite the mounting pressure to accelerate decarbonization efforts throughout the maritime industry. While much of the focus on emissions reduction centers around the sustainable fuels for ocean-going vessels, attention is increasingly shifting towards cutting pollution in harbor craft, especially in major ports around the world, where owners and operators are urged to transfer to cleaner fuels by 2030, aiming for a complete phase-out by 2050. While electric propulsion offers potential long-term cost savings through reduced fuel and maintenance expenses, the upfront investment may deter some operators from adopting this technology at the current moment. Another trend that we do see is that the retrofitting of many existing vessels for decarbonization also presents a challenge, since they were not initially designed with this goal in mind. Introducing alternative fuels or energy-efficient systems typically necessitates extensive modifications or even replacement of crucial components, which incur substantial costs and time investments.
And Shuyong, how about from the class perspective?
Thanks, Brad. Like what Ming Huat and Siddharth has mentioned, in today's context, where environmental sustainability is no longer a choice, but it's an urgent necessity that everyone plays a part to a better world within the maritime sector. Actually, we all find ourselves at a crossroads compelling to navigate to a future that prioritizes ecological responsibilities for this continued viability of the industry. But at the same time, we also understand the stakeholders like PCL, which as a ship owner, also having a tough investment decision to make and what kind of vessels to operate moving forward in the years to come. So, but at the heart of these transformations, shipyards also plays a very important critical role as well, where they are the crucibles where vessels are being conceived, constructed, and brought to life on this interplay. But at the same time, between these maritime decarbonization efforts and the dynamic of the landscape, there is also all the stakeholders are also exploring both the challenges and opportunities. For the yard-wise, the regulations, the new standards that they have to compel when building such different alternative fuels-powered vessels is much of a critical path to look into it. This is also where ABS has a great opportunity to work with both PCL and also PAX Oceans on this energy and green transition period.
Right. So, you know, you mentioned working with PCL and PAX Ocean. The three of you are already collaborating on some decarbonization projects. So, Shuyong, can you provide some insight into these projects and what work is going on there to help PCL meet its decarbonization goals?
Thanks, Brad. For ABS sustainability team, we'll be working with Ming Huat and his team in performing some of the visibility studies based on a decarbonization strategy. And of course, provided by the selected vessels that PCL will advise us, we investigate the visibility of converting different vessels using alternative fuels, in example, like maybe methanol fuel. Considering different scenarios, the options for retrofittings and the economical viability for using different based on their operating profiles, also, what is the implications on the existing vessels or if they intended to go for new construction vessels as well. And based on the technical and economical visibilities or the implications, we actually, on the energy requirement and also the tank capacity, the vessels profile, we actually do a few recommendations to PCL on what is the best options out there to for considerations in the sense. That's where the good collaborations comes in between ABS and PCL itself.
Yeah, if I may add, certainly engaging ABS for our life cycle cost analysis was a strategic move by PCL to ensure that our decarbonization efforts are not only effective, but also economically viable. The LCCA tool provides a structured approach for evaluating various decarbonization options for our existing vessels in the short to medium term. By weighing the different options available for installing energy-saving devices and analyzing potential efficiency savings, we can make informed decisions about investments in retrofitting for our existing vessels. Conducting an LAAC also enables us to assess the initial investment costs, fuel costs, operational costs associated with each decarbonization options. This gives us a very good holistic view to allow us to evaluate the return on investment and prioritize our initiatives, which can offer us the greatest economical benefit while reducing the emissions. By analyzing these different scenarios and considering potential challenges in regulations, we can actually proactively prepare for tighter emission standards beyond 2020. This forward-thinking approach ensures that investment in retrofitting existing vessels and designing for our new-built vessels are aligned with future regulations. As PCL looks forward to the future, the majority of the fleet is expected to become capable of using alternate fuels. The LCCA tools can assist in evaluating the feasibility and economic viability of transition to alternative fuels such as LNG, methanol, or hydrogen for future new builds and retrofitting our existing vessels. ECL focuses on equipping new builds with efficient designs such as LNG-ready configurations, demonstrates a commitment to staying ahead of regulatory requirements and ensuring that investment in new vessels are future-proof for decarbonization efforts. To summarize, leveraging tools like LCCA and proactive preparation for future regulations are essential strategies for a ship owner to navigate the complexities of decarbonization and achieving both environmental as well as economic sustainability in today's maritime industry.
Happy to chip in, Brad. I think as Benghot said, it's a collaborative journey that we're all on here. And on our end, we have a team of naval architects and marine engineers who are working hard on these problems, especially in terms of optimizing the vessel designs for performance and fuel efficiency. Through advanced simulation and modeling techniques, they look to refine hull shapes, propulsion systems, and overall ship designs to curtail fuel consumption as far as possible. This expertise ensures ships are finely tuned for efficiency, aiding ship owners in terms of cost reduction as well as improved sustainability.
Right, interesting, because this is a very complex, not just a complex problem, but when we talk about those actions, there's complex actions because there's so many different stakeholders, your shipyards, your ship owners, your ship management companies, your charterers. A lot of different people have hands in this. So how important are these partnerships and working together to meet these decarbonization goals?
Partnership is absolutely important, especially when we are navigating in uncharted territories. Take, for instance, our LAAC project and our methanol joint development program that we are doing with ABS. Through the numerous discussions and iterations, PCL and ABS work together to tailor solutions to PCL's operational profile and ensure the effectiveness of the decarbonization strategies that was put forth. Together in our methanol JDP project, we explored methanol as an alternative fuel for our existing vessels' propulsion system. From fuel insights to safety collaborations, our collaborations delved into every aspect from compatibility of methanol with our propulsion system to the availability of green methanol globally. Partnering with ABS, which has access to industry expertise around the world, is a big help in aiding our decarbonization effort. Additionally, training collaborations enhances our crew readiness for low-carbon vessel operations. In addition, we leverage on our Quad Group affiliation, where we actually collaborate with Pax Ocean, our shipyard, to meet specific operational needs and accelerate our transition to a low-carbon future and industrial sustainability.
Yes, indeed. I think just to add on to what Minghot has shared there, Pax Ocean and PCL are collaborating very closely to identify risks, make sure that we communicate transparently, and also co-develop mitigation strategies together. This collaborative effort not only optimizes resource allocation, but also enhances resilience, enabling both Pax Ocean and PCL to navigate the uncharted waters effectively and accelerate our progress towards a common goal of sustainable decarbonization.
Right. And I think you kind of alluded to it earlier, Sadat. Pax Ocean has a unique perspective in this situation. Ship designs are changing to accommodate different decarbonization solutions, technologies, you know, whether it's new engines, hybrid systems, or any of these, you know, energy saving technologies people are working on. And of course, it's not just new ships. It's also retrofits. And how are we going to make these things work on older ships? So especially as we're nearing 2030, you know, how does Pax Ocean fit in here? And how are the shipyards supporting this decarbonization journey?
Well, Brad, I mean, at Pax Ocean, we've undertaken several initiatives on this front, including, eco ship design, which aims to enhance propulsion efficiency and reduce emissions. If I can kind of elaborate a little bit more on some of these initiatives. One, for example, would be the introduction of twin stick leading-edge rudders and rudder bulb to optimize propulsion efficiency. Now, these type of enhancements help streamline the flow of water around the ship's rudder, thereby improving its performance in varying maritime conditions. Another example would be the implementation of pre-swirl stators, which further enhance propulsion efficiency. These allow the redirection of the flow of water before it reaches the propeller, and this innovation minimizes energy loss and maximizes thrust at the same time. Additionally, Pax Ocean has also looked at integrating shaft generators onto ships to reduce fuel consumption. Now, this innovative technology utilizes rotational energy of the ship's low-speed engine to generate electrical power, thereby reducing fuel consumption compared to the conventional method of using a high-speed diesel engine-driven generator. Furthermore, Pax Ocean has ensured that the ships that we are designing are LNG-ready, enabling a seamless transition to liquefied natural gas as a source of fuel in the future. This proactive approach towards emissions reductions demonstrates Pax Ocean's commitments towards sustainability and environmental stewardship. Moreover, Pax Ocean has equipped the ships that we designed with energy storage systems, ESS interfaces, facilitating the integration of future emission reduction technology going forward. This forward-thinking design, I believe, allows for the easy adoption of emerging solutions, ensuring continued improvement in environmental performance. By implementing these initiatives, Pax Ocean believes that we are not only advancing the field of eco-ship design, but also contributing to a cleaner and more sustainable maritime industry in the future.
Shuyang, is there anything with ABS in this area that ABS has been supporting these sort of technologies, especially from the shipyard side?
Yes, thanks, Brad, for your questions. We have been supporting the shipyards in terms of when it comes to hire to new construction standards to meet emissions regulations in the design and as well as of the supply chain materials that certifications has required. But of course, at the same time, the constant learning of the technology developments between, like in the example, like carbon capture systems, we have been working very closely and also providing information to the ship owners and also the yard in terms of the technologies itself, in terms of the upgrading and what is the viable product of this technology that can help to reduce carbon emissions when doing either retrofitting or even doing installations of such technologies for new construction vessels. ABS has been educating and also sharing of information. That's very vital in a sense, so that everyone knows what is the technology out there. And as technologies advance, things goes on years by years, accessible costs will reduce. That also becomes a demand and supply. For new construction vessels, it could not cater for net zero ambitions. Therefore, retrofittings might be also the trend moving forward out there as well. And we are also working with various ship owners, in example, PCL themselves as well, you know, to look into green corridors projects to see what is viable out there in terms of alternative fuels between their transition route as it goes along.
You're staying on the topic of shipyards here. You know, we often talk about the value chains and the need to decarbonize across the board. So are the shipyards also looking at ways to decarbonize their operations?
For sure. But I think that's a critical role that we all play, apart from interfacing with the other stakeholders like the vessel owners and the class. We're looking at our own internal operations as well. So, for example, across our facilities in Singapore, Indonesia, and China, we're looking at implementing more green initiatives through waste reduction, increased recycling, as well as the use of sustainable fuels, including solar and wind energy as well. Again, we have expansion plans for all our facilities in three countries, and all of them include green initiatives of various forms and flavors. And again, it underscores our commitment towards sustainability for the future.
You know, I think a lot of what we've talked about here is shined some light on what is needed for 2030, you know, maybe a little bit beyond. And this question is really for all of you. But how do you see the future of decarbonization playing out? You know, what does 2050 and net zero really look like for the industry?
Yeah, Brett, I think that's a million-dollar question for all of us. I would take an aspirational approach to answering that question, since we still have not had 2030 figured out. Maybe we'll go a full look back to how shipping started with wind-powered vessels, or there could be a technological breakthrough in material science which will allow for lightweight solar panels or battery storage on board the ships.
I think, Brett, if I could just chime in there, I think I fully agree with Winghart. None of us really have the answer, and that's why a collaborative approach is vital here. A net zero future, I think, is something that the entire industry is committed towards, and the shift is unstoppable in terms of the shift towards more sustainability in terms of fuel propulsion, especially. I believe that electrification of transportation is a megatrend that will persist across all transportation sectors, including also the adoption of a circular economy, whereby we not only aim to reduce consumption, but also reuse as much as usage as possible. And again, this underscores the requirement across the industry, as well as government regulators and other stakeholders, towards commitment towards more innovation, cooperation, and commitment across stakeholders and across the globe as well. This is a global problem that needs a global solution.
I guess from ABS point, both gentlemen has actually pointed out the critical elements that has been mentioned. In my personal view, I think in terms of these maritime decarbonizations, it actually presents both challenges and also opportunity at the same time. I mean, shipping is still in a going transition period. It has to be decided in the next decades of change or more. The fuel technology readiness timeline will be the incremental, moving forward through short, mid, and long-term plan, be it the ship owners, shipyards, the supply chain, or even classification societies, or even in the sustainability team like ourselves. We need to adapt to the practice in terms of the operations, the market demand, invest in different innovations technologies. And last but not least, also the very important part, which is both gentlemen also mentioned, the collaborations with different stakeholders to meet the growing demand. And there must be also be a steady stream of materials and constant learning in terms of development. And the most important thing is also the workforce in the maritime industry itself. So pace and speed will definitely be driven the boundaries conditions in terms of the safety, availability, and also the scalability to react and to meet to net zero goals.
As we're getting near the end of our time here, you know, I'd love to get some closing thoughts from each of you. Menghua, why don't you get us started?
Yeah, again, thank you very much. It's been a great discussion. For us at TCL, decarbonization is not something we do with a grand gesture and we hit our targets. I believe it's actually the small, incremental, and consistent steps that we need to take every day. And it's about making every operational count, from optimizing a single vessel's efficiency to rethinking a ship's design from the keel up.
I think if I can just add in a little bit here, it's akin to trying to solve a giant jigsaw puzzle. Everyone's got pieces, and then we all need to work together to find what the big picture looks like. As we talked about, things still look a little hazy, especially out towards 2050. But I think what's common amongst all stakeholders is that commitment towards at least achieving net zero by 2050. For the shorter term, in terms of getting the piece of the puzzle ready for 2030, I think a lot of effort has been put in by various stakeholders. Now, I think as the future towards renewables takes shape, I think we can see that it's not just about the vessels, but it's also about shipyard operations. I foresee a future whereby, you know, all our operations within the yard are fully electric. Our cranes and our vehicles, even that we use internally, will be fully electric. And we hope that this is the part of the part of journey towards net zero. It's a journey that will be filled with challenges, no doubt, especially in an industry that's as storied and as old as ours. But again, it gives us the opportunities to innovate and collaborate towards creating a better future for the next generation.
From an ABS side, it's all hands on deck for the industries to come together in collaborations and, of course, trying to meet the regulatory demands and making this world a better place. moving forward, it will also be the cost, the technology transformations potential, and also along with the electrifications like what Siddharth has mentioned, the battery energy storage, and how alternative fuels, maybe in example like green hydrogens, and also maybe nuclear energy can play a part to make this place a net zero goals to be achieved.
Okay, well, thank you all of you for joining us today. And a special thanks to Pacific Carriers Limited and Pax Ocean for taking the time to be a part of this episode. It's great to see so much action and momentum toward decarbonization.
Thanks, Luke.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you for listening to Setting Course, an ABS podcast. If you're interested in learning more about decarbonization or other trends impacting maritime, visit us at www.eagle.org. More episodes of Setting Course are available on podcast platforms everywhere.